blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Well, good evening, everybody. Alex McFarland here. Very honored to be with you tonight on the American Family Radio Network. Special day, special week. We're heading towards Thanksgiving. And, you know, on my heart are all things about this wonderful country and how much we have to be thankful for. And I'm so excited because we've got a great show. Later on in the show tonight, we have attorney Richard Harris of the Truth and Liberty Foundation, who has been very instrumental in getting out the conservative vote. But here in this first segment, I'm so excited because a number of years ago, I got a book called A Patriot's Guide to American History. And I've cherished that book. I've read it. I've quoted from it on hundreds of stages across America. And the author is Dr. Larry Schweikert, who is an author and professor and himself, truly, a patriot. And I've just been kind of a fan for years, and it's always a privilege. We've had him on the air a time or two. He's with us tonight, Dr. Larry Schweikert, prolific author and great American himself. Sir, welcome to the program.
Hi, good to be here. Let's make sure we always get our title right. It's A Patriot's History of the United States. Our competitors are the politically incorrect guide. So I always want to make sure people know we ain't no guide. We are the history. We're the whole thing.
Amen. Well, thank you. A Patriot's History of the United States.
Yes.
Now, you are or were on the faculty, University of Ohio at Dayton. Is that right?
Yeah, Dayton is the University of Dayton, which is a Marianist Catholic school. I left in 2016. I retired and we moved to Arizona as we had planned to do from day one when I got my job there. I don't want to see any more snow. Don't particularly care for rain. I'll take it once, maybe every 40 or 50 days. But I don't want snow, I don't want ice, and I don't want cold.
Yeah, well, very, very good. I've got to ask, how did you come to write, really, I don't even want to say the conservative history, but really what I would say is the true history of our nation. What led you into this work that you do?
Well, around 1991 or so, I was attending a Western History Conference. I met my future co-author, Michael Allen, and we and several other people were crabbing about how few very good textbooks there were that we could rely on. And we were, as teachers and instructors, having to constantly teach against the text, which you hate to do. You hate to always mm-hmm. have to, you know, this paragraph isn't exactly right. And you spend more time doing that than you do actually teaching. So toward the end of the 90s, I tested out a book to see if I could do it, writing a history of American business from beginning to end, called The Entrepreneurial Adventure. And it did all right. And so I thought, okay, we can do this. So I asked Mike if he would co-author with me because he's much stronger in colonial, in the Mississippi River Valley, in the early West and the far West. And so we started working on this, and we didn't think we would get a publisher. We thought we would have to sell it out of the back of a van, like contraband in California, you know, those plastic straws, or, you know, mm-hmm. buddy, plastic straw, Patriot's History of the United States. But we did get a publisher. The kind of interesting thing is that Mike and I wrote the whole book without ever physically meeting again until the book was already done. We wrote the whole thing by email and phone. And it was about double the size of what it is now. I'm sure if you have a copy handy, you know it's a 1,000-page book. Well, when we turned it over to the publisher, it was a 2,000-page book. And we go, no, that's not going to work. You're going to have to cut some stuff here. So we whittled it down to a mere 947 pages, of which about 40 pages are in notes and
sources. A mere pamphlet.
Yeah, just barely a pamphlet. And it did really well, and we got good reviews from everybody, including Rush Limbaugh and Heritage Foundation and all those guys. And then in 2010, after I'd written some other books, I was on Glenn Beck's show when Glenn had a national audience of 3.5 million, equal to what Tucker Carlson had when he was at Fox. And I gave him a copy of the book, and it was clear that he had never read it. He goes, I know this book. Do I know this book? Well, no. It, clearly, if somebody gives you a copy, you go, oh, this is a great book. So I knew he hadn't read it. Well, right. He read it over the weekend, and he came back with a vengeance, and he began holding it up 3 and 4 and 5 times a night in his show, saying, this is the best history book ever written. You got to get this. And it went straight to the top of the New York Times list, which, if you know anything about publishing, 6 years after a book is published, for it to again hit number one on the New York Times is pretty astounding.
A miracle, so almost.
Yeah, and we're now in our 45th printing of a book that we didn't even think we'd get a publisher for.
Well, to God be the glory. I want to read a quote. I've used it many times. It's a great quote. It says, quote, so many left-wing historians fail to understand what every colonial settler and every Western pioneer understood. Character was tied to liberty, liberty to property, and the surest way to ensure the presence of good character was to keep God at the center of one's life, community, ultimately nation. Separation of church and state meant freedom to worship, not freedom from worship. It went back to that link between liberty and responsibility, and no one could be taken seriously who was not responsible to God. That is a magnificent paragraph there, brother. And why do you think, to your starting premise, so many left-wing historians fail to understand the role of God and morality in the building of our nation? Why do the left-wing historians fail to understand that, in your opinion?
They don't want to. It's an uncomfortable message for them. I mean, you look at Massachusetts, and Massachusetts was nothing but Congregationalists, Puritans, Pilgrims. They had the state pay the salaries of various ministers and so on and so forth. It was only much later that you started to get a separation of church and state that Jefferson wanted in a letter, but he never even put that into policy, and yet somehow that line from a letter has kind of become a national requirement here that we. So I think we're now seeing, thanks to people like Charlie Kirk and others, a return to the notion that America really needs God at its center. That doesn't mean there can't be non-Christian religions in this country. It means that you keep first things first, and the first things first is this is a Christian, mostly Protestant country from its origins.
Yeah, Charlie was with me in one of my conferences 2.5 weeks before he got shot. First let me ask you this, Dr. Schweiker. Did you know Charlie Kirk? Were you and he colleagues?
I met him, and we talked, and we texted quite a bit. His headquarters, of course, is here in Phoenix, where I am, but hang out a lot. He was a busy guy with his own organization, Turning Point USA, to build.
Sure.
And I have more than a few things to do, so I don't normally get together with people unless I see them at conferences or speeches. That's how I came to know Victor Davis Hanson, for example.
How did Charlie's death impact you? What went through your mind as that news coverage was rolling out September 10th?
You know, it was strange. My heart wasn't burdened afterwards. Obviously, I know he's in a good place.
Amen.
I didn't think his message would suffer, but it will change. I think anyone who thinks they're going to replace Charlie Kirk need to take a look at what happened to Andrew Breitbart. He was never replaced at Breitbart for what he did. Mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh, he was never replaced by anybody. So what everybody ought to be looking for is not, quote, another Charlie Kirk, but a very different approach that might be Kirk-like in its impact. but you know, you're don't fight the same war all over again. There's going to be changes, and that's just the way the whole system works.
How concerned are you about the endless mantra about our democracy this, our democracy that, our democracy's in trouble, Trump threatens it? We don't have a democracy.
Yeah. No, we have a representative republic.
Thank you.
Which puts up layers in between the people and the government, the representatives of government. And this was done for a very specific reason. You're probably familiar with John Adams' quotation about this Constitution was only designed for the godly, and is, I forget his exact words, but it was for godly people who understand God, so on and so forth.
Yes.
That's not right. Our Constitution was designed entirely with sinners in mind. It was set up with so many checks and balances and separation of powers, it didn't trust anybody. It didn't. Our document is not one that says that we assume that people are going to act the right way, and so we don't need to build in any safeguards. Oh no, it was just the opposite. It said we assume people are going to be jerks, and we're going to have to find a way to protect some people against other people all the time. And so they broke up the government both in different branches, executive, legislative, judicial, in different term limits, congressman two years, senator 6 years, president 4 years, between federal, state, and local governments, and essentially the people. So the ways in which they built in firewalls and safeguards,
yes,
against man's sinfulness, it says so much more than Adams's comment, which I know that's what he wished had happened, but that wasn't the state of America at the time. Heck, even the Pilgrims, when they came over, half of their number weren't Puritans, weren't Pilgrims. They were strangers.
That's true.
And so it's amazing that our founders understood this. They said, look, everybody's not going to be a good person. We need to design a system so that it prevents the worst of us from abusing the system.
What was it, the James Madison quote, that if men were angels, no government would be necessary? But see, that's one of the geniuses of not only conservatism, but the founders. They understood human nature, that we're not angels, we're sinners.
Exactly. And, you know, you always end up at some point getting into, well, so-and-so owned slaves, George Washington owned slaves, whatever. And the interesting thing about all the founders, they all wanted slavery to go away in the general sense, mm-hmm. in the kind of utopian sense. Gee, we wish slavery would just go away. But none of them wanted, and this kind of reflects on our humanity and our own inability to be perfect. None of them was willing to take the hit to, well, okay, I'm going to get rid of all my slaves. I'm not even going to sell them. I'm going to give them their freedom and whatever. And it just shows you how difficult it is for people, even with good intentions, to make long-lasting changes in our structure.
Didn't the first draft of the Declaration, Jefferson's first draft, though, call for the abolition of slavery?
It did, and it blamed King George for that, which wasn't exactly kosher. That wasn't exactly right, wasn't exactly what happened. And Franklin urged him to take it out because he said that we were still attempting to get the British people and even Parliament on our side at that time. And he didn't want essentially to blame the British people and say, you gave us slavery, sort of like Adam in the garden saying to God, you know, well, this woman you gave me, she caused me to eat the apple.
Yeah. Hold that thought. Alex McFarland here. We're talking with Dr. Larry Schweikert, A Patriot's History of the United States, 48 Liberal Lies You Probably Learned in High School. So many more great books. More with Dr. Schweikert plus Attorney Richard Harris on this edition of the program. Stay tuned. The American Family Radio Network is back after this brief break.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Life is not a beach, nor is it a park. Life is a battlefield. Our goal is to be believers that are well-equipped on the battlefields of life to go out and build the kingdom of God and tear down the kingdom of darkness. Remember, our goal is not just to hold ground. Our goal is to build the kingdom of God and tear down the kingdom of darkness. Every day we can be instruments through which the Spirit of God can use to reach out to the world. How do we build the kingdom of God? By simply living a life where we're hearing God's word and obeying it every single day. Every day is a day for us to be bright, shining witnesses for Christ everywhere we go. Yes, we're wise to be believers that carry gospel tracts wherever we go and give them out as the Holy Spirit would direct us to. Yes, we're wise to be believers that daily are ready to share our testimony in any context. The Holy Spirit literally gives us tasks and missions daily.
If you're new to the American Family Association, or if you've been with us for a while, it's easy to focus on the American Family part of our name and completely forget about the association part. AFA is more like a diamond with many facets that make up the whole. If you didn't know, this is our broadcast division, American Family Radio. We also have a national Christian news service, American Family News. And then there's our governmental affairs affiliate, AFA Action. But that's still not all. We've got a video streaming service, AFA Stream. 1 million moms defends our kids against exploitation in entertainment media. If you enjoy faith-based blogs, you'll love The Stand. And if you want to find great resources and gifts, there's the AFA Resource Center. After all that, there's still more. So stop by afa.net/connect and stay connected to help you and your family stay informed, equipped, and ready to take action. afa.net/connect.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Alex McFarland, very honored to be sitting in for attorney, pastor, journalist Abe Hamilton III, and doubly honored to be talking with somebody that I've admired for a lot of years, Dr. Larry Schweikert. He's a prolific author, and I love this URL, Wild World of History. Is that your, Dr. Schweikert, is that your predominant website?
It is. You know, when I retired and came out to Arizona, I was planning to retire. And I was looking to turn Patriots history into a film series like The Chosen. Still am. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on that. But I got put in touch with somebody that one thing led to another. And before long, he says, well, you know, you don't have a curriculum up. Why don't you get a curriculum up while we're working on this film? So I took the time to put together a full curriculum for high schoolers in U.S. and world history. Each is a year-long curriculum. I just finished one called Good Government, which is a one-semester civics course. And by the end of spring, I'll have one called Good Economics, which will be the kind of bookend to that, an economics course. Anyway, Wild World of History has more than just curriculum. We have all sorts of free stuff, vignettes and so forth. We have a site for what we call our VIPs, which for a small annual subscription, you can get ongoing video content. In fact, my latest video series isn't quite finished yet, but it is available. It's called Integrity with Billy Graham. It's the story of Billy Graham. And the one before that was called Integrity with Winston Churchill. And I did 21 video episodes on the life of Winston Churchill. So it's an all-around great place. If you're more into politics, you want to hear what I have to say about voter registration or stuff like that, go over to the Wild World of Politics.
Speaking of politics, what do you think the implications of Mamdani's mayoral victory are? And, you know, first of all, I question whether he'll be able to deliver on all of these, you know, pie-in-the-sky promises he made to the voters of New York. But a Muslim socialist mayor of the 13th largest economy in the world, New York City, what's Larry Schweikert's take on all that?
Well, number one, you're right. He won't be able to deliver on everything. He even has to get approval, I think, from New York State, Kathy Hochul, to impose taxes and so forth on various things. He's going to have to raise a ton of revenue to cover all these promises that he's made. And my guess is that every attempt he makes to raise more revenue, more businesses are going to flee New York City. And there's a chance that it could become a kind of Detroit for finance, the way Detroit has become Detroit for automobiles. Mm-hmm. But we'll see. I think it was inevitable. Okay, so you can mark me down here. It's what, November 24th, right?
Right.
He's going to run for president in 2028. I think he will be their nominee in 2028.
And you know what? I was on a show earlier today, and I said this. I can virtually guarantee he's in the bullpen being groomed for a 28 or 32 run. And the person interviewing me quickly said, yeah, but he was born in Uganda, which he was. And yeah. I said, well, so what does that mean to the Democrats?
Exactly. When have Democrats obeyed any rule that didn't suit them? Now, what they would do is nominate him and dare the Republicans, number one, and the courts, number two, to stop him. And would they do it? I don't know. The courts have been a lot better recently, especially those that have any of Trump's appointees in them. But we saw just today how a rogue goon spoon judge out there can just suddenly take out the indictments of Comey and Letitia James. So we have a lot of these people to fight our way through before we can get a system that is really going to do what needs to be done.
I feel so privileged to have you to ask any question. You know, where do you think Barack Obama was born?
I think he was probably born in Kenya.
Yeah. And
but I'm not sure.
I know. And of course, the narrative is that he was born in Hawaii. Although I think, and I'm not, I mean, we're so beyond this, it's a moot point now, but yep. it was pretty compelling, not the least of which was that he came here as an exchange student and applied for scholarships as a Kenyan citizen, you know.
Yep.
That being the case, I'm so concerned for our country. And look, I'm a Christian. My home is in heaven. I know that. But it grieves me the way that the woke DEI left-wing globalist ideologues will break the rules, bend the rules, circumvent the law. I guess the final question, I'd love your opinion. How concerned are you that lawlessness and skirting the rules will just, there'll be a tipping point and no going back to restoring the rule of law and preserving our Constitution?
Well, probably the tipping point would come the other direction, which is that people get so fed up of murders in Chicago and trans people doing stuff in elementary schools that they will gravitate towards somebody who's, they always say Trump's an authoritarian, so they would gravitate towards somebody 100 times worse than him. That's the real danger. The danger is that, do we have enough time for me to get into this?
Sure. We've got about a minute and a half, sir.
Okay, so the real danger is that starting in the 90s, Congress became totally incapable of doing its job. It would not impeach Clinton, who clearly violated the Constitution. It has not, for the most part, produced budgets. We finally got a budget bill. Woohoo! Now we're coming up on January 10th, and they're supposed to start another one, and it's going to start all over again. The two impeachments of Trump were ludicrous and horrific uses of that power. Well, when you use powers willy-nilly without any relevance to justice, people start to turn you off. And I think the House of Representatives is very close to being irrelevant. And I think the Senate is not far behind them. And Trump is now conducting foreign policy by Truth Social, because mm-hmm. the media is so hopelessly corrupt. You says, why go through them? I'll just put it out there on Truth and let, you know, Venezuela or Russia or whoever read it right from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. It really is amazing. And that's why I got to say, I think Donald Trump is the greatest president of our lifetime. And I revere Ronald Reagan.
Yep. I have Reagan number three all time behind Washington and Lincoln, Coolidge number four, and Trump number six behind Grover Cleveland. But if he completes his term as expected and the last 3 years are as good as the first year, he would move up to number four of all time.
Number one being whom?
George Washington.
Yeah, of course, of course. We got to visit again. Dr. Larry Schweikert, I know you've, one last thing I'll let you, I know you've got like book deals on your website, a Black Friday deal.
Yes, we've got four different Black Friday book deals on the Wild World of History website. In addition to some regular package deals, our book deals always include autographed books that we ship to you. So check it out. If you need a curriculum for a high schooler in either U.S. or world history, it's there.
God bless you, sir. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and keep on doing all that you do for God and country.
Thank you very much.
That voice is Dr. Larry Schweikert. Alex McFarland here, and this is the American Family Radio Network. I'm going to segue a little bit. Very exciting this week to Thanksgiving week, so much for which to be grateful. But a friend, we haven't had him on nearly enough in recent months, but he is a colleague and friend. It's Richard Harris. He's an attorney, a pastor. He's the leader of the Truth and Liberty broadcast, Truth and Liberty Coalition, and he is also the leader of Practical Government, which is really the political science arm of Karis Bible College, where I have the privilege of teaching. And Richard Harris, thank you for making time to be with us tonight on AFR.
Hey, Alex, it's great to be with you, as always.
Good to be with you, and sorry it's been so long. For those that may be unaware, tell us about Truth and Liberty and what all you're doing there these days.
Yeah, well, Truth and Liberty, you know, Alex, we exist to unify, mobilize, and educate the body of Christ to stand for truth in the public square. And we do that in lots of different ways. One of the ways is we have a show that's twice a week, airs on our social media channels and our website at truthandliberty.net, as well as CTN, where we interview leaders, Christian leaders from all levels, so the local sheriff all the way up to congressman, to inform the body of Christ about what's going on and the organizations that are out there doing great things. But we do our own advocacy as well, issuing blog releases, press interviews, all kinds of that sort of thing. And you can catch all this information on our website at truthandliberty.net. We've got an annual conference that we do, as well as a banquet. And last year in Colorado, we just printed, distributed over 1 million voter guides for school board elections there. We're just doing everything we can to turn America back to God.
Amen. Praise God. You know, I'm so encouraged to hear all this, Richard. And, you know, I think about yourself and others. I've met people that are everything from, you know, regional podcasters to people, churches that are distributing voter guides and registering voters and doing almost civics classes. You know, for all of the bad news and the disconcerting news, there are some things to be encouraged about, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, what you just said reminds me of Elisha's words to his servant when they were surrounded on the hillside. You know, he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And I think sometimes we don't realize that there are millions of born again, Bible believing Christians in this nation who, you know, are praying daily, and thousands who are working hard to turn America back. And I think we're having an impact. You know, the latest statistics are very encouraging as the younger generations are returning to church. There's indications they're returning to family and family values, wanting marriage and children and these kinds of things. So I think Gen Z is the best hope for America. Well, Christ is our best hope, but Gen Z is certainly a reason for optimism.
Yeah. Sure. Well, the recent elections, you know, now several weeks back, and of course the big news, Mamdani's win in New York, and there were a lot of Democrat wins across America. Give us your, you know, take on that. How concerned are you that there's going to be this pendulum swing back away from, you know, Trumpism and conservatism back to the reins of power in the hands of Democrats?
Well, Alex, I am concerned. You know, it was a little unsettling to see the margin of victory, to see candidates, not just Mamdani in New York, who's an avowed socialist, Islamic socialist, and probably a communist, but also the attorney general in Virginia, attorney general elect, who was elected despite statements that he made that were just absolutely horrible, condemnable, and everything about wanting to see the Speaker of the House of Virginia shot three times in the head with a bullet and his children die in his mother's arms. So it makes you wonder how far gone is the Democratic Party in this nation. And I think they're very, very far gone. But at the same time, it's normal to have a sort of recoil after a big presidential win. The Republicans got the White House and the Senate and the House of Representatives, and it's normal to have a recoil, a rebound. The big factor in these elections, I think, is the economy. I think people are really feeling the pinch of inflation. You know, jobs growth has been there, but it's not quite as strong as what people need. The wage growth has not been there. And that's what's so people are feeling it financially. And, you know, I'm hopeful and believing that Trump's economic policies will begin to kick in and pay off in time for the 2026 elections. And so we've also got some redistricting in Texas and other places like that that should help equal things out. So I think we're going to be okay. We really need to keep the House of Representatives for Trump's agenda to keep moving forward, though.
Yeah, I mean, how detrimental would that be if, you know, the balance of power shifted in the House? I mean, would the last 2 years of Trump's presidency be kind of lame duck? God forbid.
A little bit. I mean, this also is common. You know, it happened to Barack Obama. I think it happened to, you know, Joe Biden. It's very common for the House to flip back to the other party in the midterms. So does it totally, you know, stop the president's agenda? No, not totally. But if he's smart, he'll get most of his legislative agenda done while he's got both houses. And I think he's working hard to do that. But after that, you know, it'll be foreign policy, executive orders, appointments, and maybe some legislation, depending upon whether there's a Democrat majority and if there is, how big it is in the House. Hopefully, Republicans will keep the Senate or expand it. But, you know, they've got some challenges there as well, because there's more Republican seats up than there are Democrat by a significant margin, which means that the Republicans are playing more defense than offense. So we need to be in prayer, and we need to be involved and informed, and really, you know, put everything out there this time around. It's not just every 4 years; it's every 2 years at least.
Sure. Richard Harris is our guest, attorney, leader of Truth and Liberty. Hey, we can take calls too when we come back after this brief break. If you have a question you want to enter in the conversation, the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. More with Richard Harris and myself, Alex McFarland, on the American Family Radio Network. Don't go away. We're back after this brief break.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins takes you behind the headlines and sound bites into conversations with leaders and newsmakers. And Washington Watch Weekend Edition features content from the best segments of the week. For many years, Washington Watch has provided in-depth news coverage and insightful analysis from a Christian perspective. And Washington Watch Weekend Edition is a condensed version of the week's coverage. Washington Watch Weekend Edition, now at 5:30 p.m. Central, Saturdays, on American Family Radio.
Courageous living in turbulent times, the biblical case for cultural engagement, seven checkpoints on the road to financial freedom, and the seasons of parenting. Those are just a few of the video resources from the AFA Cultural Institute. Find the AFA Cultural Institute videos, as well as faith-enriching documentaries and family-friendly movies, at stream.afa.net or search AFA Stream at the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store.
What is the purpose of theology? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Theology is the study of God. The term may sound elitist, but in reality, everyone has beliefs about God. The question is whether those beliefs accurately represent God based on the standard, His inspired word. But the purpose of theology is far more than increasing knowledge of God, but rather to deepen our love and worship of Him. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Hear our most recent program on the State of Theology Survey, which tracks the beliefs of Americans and evangelicals, at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this Thanksgiving weekend for a program on the Pilgrims' beliefs in the founding of America.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here on this Monday night. And, you know, Thanksgiving is just days away. It is our sincere prayer that you and your family just have a blessed Thanksgiving. And we've got so much for which to be grateful, so many things to thank the Lord for. And we just wish you every blessing. And for those that are the regular listeners, I hear from so many people just every week, letters and emails, people that they express such kind sentiments, their lives deeply touched by the American Family Radio Network. We are sincerely grateful for each and every one of you. I'm also grateful for my longtime friend and colleague, attorney Richard Harris. He's also leader of Truth and Liberty, the School of Practical Government at Karis Bible College, and just an amazing servant of God and country. Hey, Richard, before we continue some questions, tell us your website and where people can watch Truth and Liberty.
Sure, Alex, and thank you for those really kind words. Our website at Truth and Liberty is truthandliberty.net. I've also got my own ministry, which the website's richardharrisministries.com. But yeah, you can find everything you need at those websites.
You know, you've had so many incredible guests, and I've been on the times that I was on there too. I mean, we've had everybody on there from, once, this has been several years ago, Alan Dershowitz and Tony Perkins and people like that. Who are some of the more memorable guests you've enjoyed interviewing?
Gosh, we've had some great ones. You know, Bob McEwen has been on often.
Yes.
Let's see, David Barton, of course. He's one of our board members, but he is just can't be beat. Alan West was on recently.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah, and many others. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dr. So, Ben Carson. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, great.
Mike Huckabee was on shortly after he was confirmed by the U.S. Senate for Israel ambassador. He was our guest. So, yeah.
Are you familiar with Trump's appointment for International Ambassador at Large for Religious Freedom, Mark Walker? Does that name ring a bell?
Yes, it does ring a bell. Yes. I don't know him personally. I mean, I have met him once, but I can't say I know him. But
Do you know if he's been confirmed?
Yes. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Do you know if he's been confirmed?
I think he has, but that's not based on much at all, Alex. don't know.
The reason I ask, and I know a number of Trump's appointees, you know, it seemed like, they were taking a long time to get confirmed, you know. Mm. But so.
Well, you know, the Democrats were bottlenecking everything for a long time. And Republicans had to use an extraordinary measure to get get all of them through. I think a lot's been cleared out by now, but I can't speak to Mark Walker for sure.
Yeah.
But he was a really good choice, I believe.
Yeah. What are the stories that concern you most, really, about, you know, before the break, we were talking about the economy, and that, I mean, that really does drive the way elections come out. I've heard so much about how the tariffs are going to raise just lots of revenue, help pay down the debt, that, you know, for the first 100 years of America, tariffs were like the way that the federal government was funded. But whether it be the tariffs or other issues, Richard, what things concern you about the health of our nation?
Well, so the biggest threats to America right now are not, they're not monetary. Well, although the debt is a massive concern. You know, we're $38 trillion now. It's going up, $2 trillion to $3 trillion a year just by interest. And every time they pass another budget, they add, you know, more to it with the excessive spending. 71% of our spending is on entitlement programs, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and the like. Unemployment insurance, and then when you add on the interest on the national debt, you're talking about 71% of our national budget on these things, and so we are definitely in some financial deep waters, and we've got to figure a way out of it. But other than that, I think our most urgent issues are not monetary. I think they're social. I think that a very large segment of America's population has now bought into basically Marxist ideology, LGBT ideology, critical race theory, and these kinds of things. And I was watching a report last night on Lara Logan that was just incredibly disturbing, that about Venezuela and the cartel there, I can't remember the name of it, something de Solis. Cartel, the largest cartel in the world, largest criminal enterprise in history, that has $2.7 trillion in wealth around the world. But they're not just about drugs. They and the Cuban intelligence agencies are work hand in glove, and they the guests on the show were commenting about how they have deep penetration into all America's intelligence agencies, and that virtually they know everything that we're doing. Of course, they're in league with China as well now. So. But I think Trump's going to deal with that. I think he's aware of it probably now. And I'm hoping that in the process of it, he's also going to crack the nut of election integrity, because the fraudulent software behind on these voting machines, it was written in Venezuela and now is in 27 different nations, including many, many states in the United States of America. So I think, but culturally, Alex, that's my bottom line. America has to turn back to God. This socialism is going to will eventually destroy this country and bring it down if we don't get the upper hand on it. And I think we are, but we've got to keep fighting, and the church has to be energized and engaged.
Sure. Hey, in a totally random here, but doesn't it seem like for about 2 weeks we've not heard anything about J.D. Vance? Have you noticed that? Suddenly.
No, he kind of, you know, he's sort of like that gopher game. He sort of pops up and then he's, you know, next thing you know, he's over here. I don't know what's going on. He probably just, is not doing anything the press is keen on right now, but, I'm not concerned. I don't have any reason to be concerned about it.
Sure. How are your feelings about him as a candidate in 28?
Really good question. I think for me, the jury's still out. There's a lot of things to like about J.D. Vance. You know, he testifies to a personal encounter with Christ, although I believe he is Catholic. But his wife is not a believer. She's Hindu. And the scripture says not to be unequally yoked. And I think we've seen in the past when our political leaders are unequally yoked, that it does have an impact on their policy and on their viewpoints and this sort of thing. But Vance, you know, by all accounts, appears to be a real fighter, tough as nails. I don't I don't think he has the magic, so to speak, that Donald Trump has. So I don't know if he could win against a popular Democratic candidate. I really don't. But you know, we could do a whole lot worse with the presidency than J.D. Vance. So if sure. he were to prevail, it looks like he's probably going to have Trump's backing and endorsement, but it's still early, very early. If he does, then that would help a lot. If the MAGA Republicans get behind him and he can unite the Republican Party, then, you know, his challenge is going to be winning over moderate voters. And I just don't know how he plays in that electorate yet, in that group of the electorate, whether they like him or don't like him. So
yeah.
I think he's got to refine himself in some ways, in the way he speaks and in his messaging, because he's sort of been comfortable in the conservative mode, speaking and messaging in that vein. And whether that's going to be enough to get him the White House, I sincerely doubt that. But he's as strong as any of the Republican field right now. So sure. So he's probably, most people probably would count him as the front runner. But whether he would beat the Democrat machine, it's way too early to tell.
You know, you mentioned moderate voters. Does it surprise you, given the state of the world and the absolute polar opposites that Republicans and Democrats are? I mean, let's be real. The Democrat Party positions versus Republican, I mean, it's two different universes. Does it surprise you that there could even be moderate voters anymore? I'm entirely serious. We're talking about castrating children, parents' rights, the murder of the unborn versus a constitutional republic. How could anyone be moderate in this world? But speak to it, if you would, Richard.
No, that's a really good question. That's a really good question. But I think what you still have in the middle, if you will, are especially the millennials and younger, are voters who don't affiliate with a party. They don't like parties. They don't trust them. They think they're bad and destructive. So it gets a little bit tough to label and pigeonhole them as voters. And you have to ask, well, what are their most important issues? I think there's a lot of people, younger generation especially, who they may feel like abortion is wrong and they may feel like trans surgery on a minor is wrong, but those aren't their motivating issues. And so you're going to need to appeal to them on other things. And then they will mix into their ideology a whole lot of wokeism as well. I think the sand is shifting under us, not just in America, but around the world, Alex. And I don't think we really have it figured out yet because it hasn't really settled. There's a rise of Marxist ideology and ungodliness and woke ideology. And at the same time, there's a great revival that's underway. And so it's hard to predict the future just yet. I know that God's going to win.
Amen.
As far as elections, I'm not sure. Not sure in the short term that's happening.
Amen. The Lord will prevail. And that's why we would say to everybody listening, you know, make sure that, number one, this is life's most important decision, folks, that you have accepted Christ and are born again, that you have a relationship with the one true Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, we get pretty impassioned and very invested in being salt and light in the culture. But ultimately, Richard Harris, our guest, our home is not here on this transient world, is it?
It is definitely not on this earth in this age. You know, Christ is coming, and I think he's coming soon. Alex, you just wrote a book on 100 questions and answers on end time prophecy, and Jesus is coming. The signs are everywhere. Everything is aligning to exactly what was predicted. Things that we couldn't even have imagined how it would come true are coming true before our very eyes. We can see how the mark of the beast, for example, will be executed, and many other things. And so now is the time for people to make a decision. When he comes, or if perhaps you die before Christ returns, you know, it's too late at that point. Now is the time. And Jesus died for our sins and was raised from the dead, and God loves you. He wants you saved and in his kingdom for all eternity. So take advantage of this time now and confess him as Lord and believe in him in your heart as your Savior, and you will be saved.
You know, we haven't even mentioned this, but talking about end times and the mark of the beast and things like that. Last week, the VP of Microsoft said, if you're not afraid of AI, you just don't understand the technology. And wow. You know, Richard, I think about like in the book of Revelation that the yep. this image of the beast has almost godlike properties that can, you know, almost deceive even the very elect. I do think the technology, the shifting political and moral winds, I think the stage is being set. And it seems like, and of course only God knows, but it just seems like we've somehow crossed a Rubicon from which there's no turning back, that the world is heading towards the end times and Christ's inevitable return.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind, Alex. There's so many signs, I don't know what's the most significant, but I think AI probably is, you know, we had a window of opportunity to rein in that beast, no pun intended, mm-hmm. and we didn't do it. And I think it's probably a little bit too late now to try to regulate it. I think super AI is around yes. the corner, and I forget what the third level of basically where the collective intelligence of all humanity is yes. inferior to AI is not far beyond that. It's growing by leaps and bounds. And,
Richard, we're almost out of
time. Security.
Forgive me, we're almost out of it. Give us your website yep. again before time fleets away.
Thank you, Alex. Truthandliberty.net and RichardHarrisMinistries.com.
Alex McFarland here. Thanks to our guest, Richard Harris. Thank you all for listening. Thanks to our engineers. God bless you, folks. Pray for America.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.